Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Barbershop Talk Sports Podcast. We hope you enjoy this episode. Please feel free to share with your family and friends.
Referees.
How about that matchup?
Some bullshit. Bullshit. Ah! But it's okay, man. It's okay. You have to go through. You go through those on a championship campaign.
What's crazy is, and I didn't even really put much thought into it. Like, the Dallas's last two games were on Thursday.
Yeah. Now we got us a little 10-day break till we get into the meat of our.
What up, Landis? Huh?
What up, fellas? What up?
Right, we gotta play Vegas coming off a nice little Thanksgiving break.
Did you hit the intro yet, Jay?
Nah, I ain't hit it yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got a couple of friends that are actually in Vegas right now for the game. They're having a blast out there.
I was supposed to go. I was supposed to go. I had to work last night. And I was like, shh.
Everybody's acting like, oh, Washington fans travel. No, them Bama's is going because it's Vegas. If it was Oakland, they wouldn't be going.
Yeah.
No, none of y'all be going to Oakland.
Washington has a huge fan base, though. I don't want to downplay that. Like, those guys, I don't know why, but it's.
They do, but there ain't going to be 400 people. Like, there was tweets from media people saying that, like, planes were just filled with Washington fans.
Yeah, no. I've seen pictures of it. They out there having a blast. They out there having fun. Yeah, they out there riding four wheelers in the desert. They doing that zip line over Vegas. I was like, why are so many people in Vegas this week? And then it hit me. I was like, oh, all them Bama's out there for the game.
So here's the thing though. It's like the only thing about Vegas is when you come to a Raiders game, you're coming to a Raiders game and you coming to have fun. So you killing two birds with one stone.
Exactly. You know.
Oh yeah.
Hey, get you a nice game, get you a prostitute, everything good.
Yeah, nice. get your little
head over to the bunny ranch.
Get a little bunny ranch.
Vegas is fun.
Lose a couple Vegas dollars.
Hey, we gotta go out there one day, fellas. All of us.
Like, I know. Like,
hey, I got timeshares.
You get some of the best Cali tree. It's fun, gamble, and I mean, it's an experience in itself. So
I want to get married and get divorced in the same weekend out there.
No.
You stupid.
I ain't doing that shit no more.
No, we could all go out there and have a divorcee party.
Yeah, I'm about that.
That'd be fun. Now we talk.
I'm telling you, look, that could be our spinoff, man. The divorcee pod.
Divorcees?
Because we could talk about marriage life and divorces from the male perspective.
It's a big business, man.
I'm telling you.
I feel like we're trending towards that anyway. I don't know how long Barbershop Talk is going to last, but I feel like we're going to end up doing something like that anyway.
I'm just saying, I don't know why we can't blend the two together.
They can. That's what it's about.
Sports are a great escape from dealing with some of that shit.
Hey, let's talk about our wives, our ex-wives. That's
what I'm trying to say.
We all been there, you know.
So since let me go ahead and kick this thing off. Welcome to another episode of the Barbershop Talk Podcast. I'm your humble host, Jay Lee, aka Big Papa, in the shop one more again with the young CEO Landis Brewer joining us from his Tesla or his Escalade. I'm not sure what he's in today.
Nope, Honda Civic. I'm a foreigner. I believe in Toyota, Nissan, and Honda.
I mean, Honda is a foreign. I mean, while we, you know, keeping it 100, we also got Mr. Vegas himself, Ciroc, in the shop.
Hold on, Jay, check the levels. I want to make sure my jewelry don't sound in the back.
That shit loud as hell.
Ciroc is going to make – he's this close to making me hate the Raiders. That's my boy, but I'm this close.
He always teases that line of pushing you over the edge.
I'm about to be 4-0 on this podcast against everybody on this show. The Ravens, the Cowboys mock.
Yo, I'm just saying, don't let it happen to you. Because if you lose to us, it's gonna be bad.
The best if I lose to y'all, if I lose to y'all, I'm getting off this podcast. I'm gonna do something else on my weekend.
And last but not least, we have Dev, the Phenom, Dominicus, the back-to-back chronic champion. And we are like failing miserably at keeping this guy out of the championship hunt this year. Somehow he is back again.
So the good thing about today is that we done secured a win after the bullshit on Thanksgiving since then. Because last week I probably would have been in my feelings a little bit more. But since we already got a W since then, I can talk a little bit more about that without being all emotional and shit. But congratulations, kinda. That was the best game I've seen Carr play. That I've seen personally. I don't watch a lot of the Raiders though, but that was he was comfortable in the pocket. Like comfortable. That was our fault. But luckily it wasn't a conference game, so we're good.
I was watching intently. I was just imagining the angst that y'all had.
We was, if you look at it, we stopped them all. They were like 3-13 on third down, besides the times he just launched it up to Anthony Brown. He got a penalty. If we're talking specifics, but we're not yet. Continue.
Let me tell you something. Anthony Brown is the MVP of that game. My man is pure garbage. I don't even know why y'all got him. I don't care. I mean, I went back and watched it, you know, this time sober. I went back and watched it, and I had to see how bad Anthony Brown was. My man held everything except for his wife. I mean, like, he went at home, held his wife, somebody threw a flag on him. Like, dog, bro, you can't do that. You know.
And Raiders speed.
You can't do that.
And Raiders speed got us.
The refs were throwing the handkerchiefs at his ankles all day long.
They just handed it to him. They was like, here, hold on to this, bro.
I know. He's like, he's up there somewhere. Let me just throw it at his. The last one in overtime was face guard. He was holding his helmet.
He grabbed the man by his whole body.
He was hugging his helmet. So he's supposed to turn his head around when it's being in the air? Come on.
Hey, DJ Khaled was like another one. Another one.
Yeah, that play right there messed up my Thanksgiving. I'm like,
yeah, I'm sitting there in the stadium and I'm just going, I know Dev is somewhere upset. I wanted to FaceTime you so bad, but my battery died and I was like,
Ciroc had everybody in their feelings. I was mad in Ciroc and I wasn't a Cowboy fan. That's how angry I was. So hey, I just stopped talking to Ciroc. I just didn't get in the group chat no more. I put it on mute and I went and watched Netflix.
I'm just sitting here going,
this nigga is such an asshole.
You got theme music and everything.
In Dallas. You know what other Raider fans in my life doing? They bringing up a play from the index card from like 7 years ago.
Let me tell you something. When Raiders fans get abused, we hold on to it forever. I got trauma. I need to talk to somebody from the Tuck rule to the index card to. We've been screwed over so many times, bro. It's not even funny.
The Tuck rule, I give you that one. But the index card, come on now. Come on. It was close enough.
Name another game in NFL history where the referee has reached into his pocket and pulled out an index card. I'll wait.
Yo, when they start using like tools and utensils for measurements, like it's a problem.
It was close enough. He had to measure.
Especially enough. Any other time. If it's that close, you see him just wave it first down.
Just let it go.
But in that moment, that ref wanted to shine.
If you got to debate it that hard.
If it's in my favor, the human element of the game, It's the human element of the game. When it's not in my favor, it's the refs cheat.
But yeah, it was interesting. But as I was telling Jay, I am 4-0, about to be 4-0 on this podcast. That's all I'm saying.
Man, you being real disrespectful. You gotta give my squad a little bit of respect. The fact that we're showing up and we're going to play.
Okay.
So okay. At least give me at least a 10% chance.
All right, I'll give you that. So we 3.5-0. So I put my little mid.
There you go. Don't count your chickens just yet.
Okay, I won't.
I'll say this, man.
Stay quiet.
And I'm not taking shots at anybody, but I'll say this. In the last 12 years, I don't know how I would put the Washington football team and the Raiders in the same boat, man. Like,
so we are.
I'll say that. So, right now, we're watching the football team, you know, have getting that momentum. Y'all both my peoples. I love your boys, so I'm not in this week, but I'm hoping for a good game. But I think it's going to be more close than Ciroc might think. Honestly, fam, I think.
No! It's not gonna be a whooping. I don't think we're gonna go. They ain't gonna come out to Vegas. We ain't gonna hand the bet on black. But
y'all noticed since Chase Young, you think Chase Young was the problem? I'm like, wait, wasn't he gonna make him better?
I won't say that.
The team's gotten so much better.
I have been hypercritical of Chase this year, but to say that we are winning because he is not playing, I don't like that.
That's a stretch. I know.
Special talent. I think with special talents, though, you still have to coach their asses up. Like,
I agree.
Just putting them out there and be like, go be a monster. You can't really do that in the league anymore. Like, you got to, like, put them in position to be disruptive. Like, I've only really seen him play that left edge for the most part every time I watch y'all. Like, he's not.
He always starts on the right edge, and when he can't get there, they flip him. But right tackles in the NFL are just as good as left tackles these days. So, like, you can't just go and say, I'm going to go on the left side and get busy. Like, you still got to put the work in. And that's the part that has troubled me with all his little workout videos and stuff. it's not translating to the field. And like Dev said, whoever the D-line coach is, I have to look it up, should be working with him heavily. Like, yo, brother, we gotta get it together.
Or should be fired. Because I think it's also the thing of I don't know if it's the Jadeveon Clowney or the Julius Peppers thing. Everybody who comes out of that 6'6", we think is the next Julius Peppers. And it happened to Jadeveon Clowney. And I'm not ready to put the bus label on Chase Young yet, because I do think his ceiling is maybe a little bit better than Jadeveon's, because he can play the run and be a little bit more complete of an end than Jadeveon's, but I do feel like we always believe the next 6'6" guy who runs a 4.5 is the next Julius Peppers, when that's not reality, because we didn't see T.J. Watt coming. We didn't see – I mean, we saw Von Miller coming. We didn't see a lot of great edge rushers coming. So, you know, I think the jury is still out on him, but I think the kid, like Jeremy said, he needs to stay off Instagram and work your butt off, because he has Hall of Fame credentials. I mean, yeah, if you look at his size, speed, the kid is supposed to be the next great thing, but I feel like that hype – from the first year got him.
He has the God-given ability. He has to put technique to it. You can't just go out there and be a speed demon every time.
Yeah, he fits the Julius Pepper mold. Like, that's who I was seeing. Like, I can't call him a bust because he already won Defensive Rookie of the Year.
But with what, 6 sacks? Come on, though. I thought it was not a great rookie class.
I'm not gonna lie. He won it because of the impact that he had on the team, more than his stats.
It's on his resume already. We can't take that off.
So, that is true.
And they won the division. He played in a playoff game already. And he's already a cap. Like, these are all big deals for a second year player. Like, I can't call him a bust yet. Now, coming back from this injury, the way we see these guys coming back from these injuries, they come back looking exactly the same for the most part. So, I mean, they just got a lot of work to do. I don't think the defense is, like, the problem. Well, it wasn't, but we'll see.
I mean, they've improved, but it's going to be a test against the Raiders. The one saving grace for us is that Waller isn't playing. Because yeah, we don't have anybody on our roster that could cover that dude.
Yeah, we knocked his ass out. I mean, and I thought he was going to be, I was like, all right, with their best player out, we're about to be rolling. Sure enough, didn't happen.
So going back to Thursday night, Taysom Hill is some trash.
Yeah. Now, what I'll say is, watching that game, any football coach watching that game, Sean P drew up some fantastic plays. Like, those guys was running wide open. And yep. I was like, yo, thank God he can't pass, because these dudes is wide open out here. And they was running some pick plays that I hope that we implement into our offense going for the rest of the season, because it was getting people wide open and those refs weren't calling. So I'm going to give Sean P his props in the offense that was out there, but he should have pulled Taysom when he saw that those balls were sinking or sailing. Like, he wasn't accurate anymore after he hurt his hand. Like, it was irresponsible to keep him out there. But
right. It's almost like he was trying to prove a point. Like Taysom is a good quarterback. Like, no, he hit his hand twice.
Yo, Taysom
gets
paid. Yo. He gets paid. And what has he done this year? Like, this moment he's getting like $10 million a year with the chance to go up to, like, I think, what's it, $70 million or something.
Well, all he has done is be injured.
But he's the trick play, though. He's that
option. Be injured.
$10 million, though, for $10 million a year, trick play guy? Come on. Ain't no trick play guy worth $10 million a year. Every one of our teams runs trick play. We ain't paying that dude to... But we ain't paying, like, in our case, Cedric Wilson is our fourth receiver, and he runs, and when he throws the ball, I'm like, wow, Cedric can throw the ball. But we ain't paying him no $10 million a year to do that.
Unfortunately, we're not paying. Marcus Mariota is getting paid a pretty chunk of change, though.
Marcus Mariota is a better quarterback than Taysom Hill.
Yeah, like, he could take over the offense if need be. And he scored touchdowns. I mean, shit, he put
Rock.
Cat in the red
Ciroc.
Zone. I thought that was a smart play.
Ciroc, I'm telling you, those of y'all who really, one of my coworkers, my service manager, this dude's really been drinking that Derek Carr Kool-Aid. I'm telling y'all, with the same protection, an equal opportunity, Marcus Mariota is probably better or just as good as Derek Carr. And I said it right here on the show. I'm sorry.
He doesn't have the long
Derek Carr this year. I'm like, no, I've been watching this dude since Fresno State. I've been watching him like, it's like, no, Derek Carr is a good quarterback. Let's leave it there. Like, just like Marcus Mariota. I'm not drinking that juice.
He's better than Mariota.
Look, no. I like Marcus Mariota all day. I like Derek Carr. Marcus Mariota does not have the long-range gun. He can't – Derek Carr can fire that thing if he really wants to. He just doesn't – If you put both of them together and made one quarterback, you got a beast for a quarterback. But – Marcus Mariota can't fire that thing like he used to. He never could. He didn't do it in Tennessee. I mean, he had the weapons. Plenty of weapons.
Is Carr on a contract year this year?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is it?
Okay. Yep. On the rail, I could see Derek Carr in New Orleans being significantly better.
If Derek Carr gets dropped from the Raiders, he's preaching. He's done with football.
What?
Oh, man. If he goes to New Orleans,
you think he wants to be a Raiders lifer?
Yeah.
Well, y'all don't treat him like y'all want him. Y'all don't treat him like y'all want him. Y'all would have given him $35 million by now if y'all wanted him.
We gave him almost $100 million. I mean, Derek Carr used to have he had a hell of a fight contract.
Derek Carr in New Orleans, same exact setup. He's winning 12 games.
No, he's not.
Oh, nah, you're hyping. Come on,
in New Orleans? Sean Payton could make Derek Carr raise him up. It could upgrade him a level. Taysom Hill is trash. Jameis Winston is trash. He couldn't fix them.
Let me explain something to you.
He can fix Derek Carr.
Derek Carr is not coachable anymore. Let me tell you why. He's had five coaches of different calibers, different styles. He went from the ultimate of John Gruden. He's had this interim coach that's not really coaching him. He's had Jack Del Rio, he's had a flood of coaches.
make sure you get healthy.
They're not going to reach him quite like that. In his mindset is different from any other quarterback. He thinks he has the game. And because of that, it's hard to teach somebody that thinks they know everything.
I can see that, but with Sean P, Sean P's at a different level. He's at a different level. Sean P will have
Derek Carr couldn't go to New England and Bill Belichick couldn't coach him. I'm telling you that. And I'm Raiders for life.
Hey, well, if y'all let him go, we're gonna see. He's gonna have a market.
Let him go, Derek Carr is going to Fresno and be a pastor.
I would take him. If he became available, I would take him in DC.
I'm sure you would. I take him as a backup.
But the next person he's playing for is God.
I don't think he's gonna go somewhere to be a backup though.
I think he goes to New Orleans. He has a lot of success.
I'll give you this. That was a great connection. I never even thought about that. Derek Carr would be a star in New Orleans more than he is with the Raiders, just because Sean Payton, I believe, is a white quarterback whisperer. White quarterback whisperer. Excuse me. Why?
Why?
Why? I haven't seen him done that one yet, so I don't know. Excuse my language, but he had Jameis. Jameis had five touchdowns the first game, and then he looked like Jameis from Tampa Bay to Rusty. So
maybe black Aaron quarterbacks Brooks. That they had though.
Aaron Brooks.
That was
before Sean Payton, wasn't it?
That was Sean Payton.
Was it?
You ain't got Drew Brees.
Drew Brees was his first
free agent. You ain't got a dude with a broken shoulder and say, you know, I trust you more than Aaron Brooks. And he turned him Hall of Famer, so I mean, it worked out.
Shout out to Aaron Brooks.
He literally did that. Drew Brees wasn't as regarded in San Diego as he was.
Hell no.
And neither was Sean Payton.
He wasn't.
He had LT.
Sean Payton was in high regard as when he was the Cowboys offensive coordinator.
Yeah, Romo had one of his best years. I was like, oh my God, we're losing him. And then we lost Bill Parcells the year after.
Sean Payton was in Dallas?
Yeah.
He was Bill Parcells' offensive coordinator.
Yeah, but if Al Davis would have had his way, Sean Payton and Drew Brees would be with the Raiders right now, and we would have 10 championships.
I don't think he wanted Brees. He wants the Jamarcus Russells. He wants the cannon arm.
Yeah,
he wanted both of them out of San Diego.
Brees's injury was serious.
Yeah,
shoulder. Remember, he was holding his arm like.
I remember the injury. It looked really bad.
Yeah, he was holding his arm like. Yeah, he couldn't even put it down like the way it was broken.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. That's when they went and got Phillip Rivers, and he brought all his 13 kids with him.
No, he had like six at that time. He got like six more, like 12 more somewhere that
afternoon. Yeah, he had six more kids in the league.
Hold on. They drafted Phil, and I think Phil only spent one season behind Brees.
It was just that one season. I mean, when you pull off the draft day trade, the writing's on the wall. Like Brees knew he wasn't going to be there.
Yeah,
and it worked out. It worked out for both of their careers.
Yeah, at that point, so Brees led them to, so they got LT and Brees in the same draft, and they still ended up with what the top, top three,
or and top they still five. Suck.
Yeah,
and people forget that Brees was the second round pick in that draft.
Yep. Two Hall of Famers
out of Purdue, Boilermakers.
And I mean, so, completely off topic. LT is one of my favorite running backs of all time.
Oh yeah,
that dude was a monster.
He's number three on my list.
Who's your top two, Sarah?
Number one of we'll do it like this. Number two is AK 47.
Wait, what? What AK? Yep. You talking about that boy in New Orleans?
Yep.
You're not talking about all time, are you?
Oh, he's talking about all time, and I'm about to jump on here.
No,
you talking about current running backs?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm talking about all time. I'm talking about all time.
Oh.
Yeah, I was about to say I like Alvin. He won me a championship last year, but I wasn't about to put him number two all time.
What? No, he's not top 10 all time.
All time?
All time?
Yeah. All time? Your top two Allen, all time.
Allen, Barry.
You put Marcus Allen in your top two?
I'll give you that. I'll give you Allen, Allen, Barry, Emmett. Allen, Barry, Emmett, Peyton. That's it right now. I got a headache.
Are we talking about all time, like any generation? You're picking all time. These facts.
All time.
Like your personal top five all time.
Yeah.
Emmett, all right. I mean, we on it right now, Dev. Let me get your top five.
Emmett, number one, because if you look at the record books, ain't nobody on top of him in any of the categories, and he's the only running back that has been the catalyst to a dynasty.
Just only thing about that, come out. Let me interject for one second. Only thing about that is football changes so much you can't go by record books.
Right. What? Well, okay. Well, he's the only running back that we're gonna mention that has three championships.
Right.
Okay. Right. So number two, I'll go Barry Sanders because you gotta look at what he didn't have and be like, whoa. Number three.
Dad, can I ask you an honest question if you go to number three? What? Is Barry Sanders, are you taking Barry Sanders over Emmett? Just be honest.
No.
It's the same line.
See, now we get into hypothetical.
No. We're talking reality.
Men don't get into hypotheticals. I already gave him his props at putting him the number two based on the situation he was in. Right? I gave him that. So I don't want to do the hypothetical. Oh, if he was behind the Great Wall of Dallas, what would he have done? Obviously, he would have been successful. He was talented. But I can't say what he would have did because a part of being a running back, especially back then, getting 25 to 30 carries a game, was just showing up every week. Emmett showed up every week for a decade plus, guys. Come on now. The average running back career is 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
All right, okay. So I'm on three. So Walter Payton. One of my favorite backs. And then, all right, so four. As far as modern guys, I loved Adrian Peterson when he first came out. Like, his first 7 years, fantastic.
What happened? I mean, it's not like he fell off. AP is like a monster.
He got old. You get hit all. He was carrying 25, 30 times. Which doesn't really happen anymore. And it's going to take its toll. And then number five, man, that's a tricky one. But I'll say LT number five because I loved LT's game. Was LT a 1,000-1,000 guy?
Every year.
He was one of them 1,000-1,000 guys put up. And I'm talking in modern era where we're dealing with a different caliber of defensive athlete too. So that's why I put them guys up. So that's my five.
And this, I gotta hear yours. I know it's gonna be special.
Oh yeah, because I love running backs, man. I'll say number one, because I'm in this generation, I think the best running back I ever saw do it. And if I'm a GM as well, I'm also picking like I'm a GM. When I'm talking about size, speed, dominance, statistics.
Lamar Jackson ain't a running MVP. Back, bro.
Nah, not yet, not yet. That's, So I would say the best running back I ever saw play football, like for Emmett, from watching like the 90s, the 80s, and all that, he could fit in any generation. I'm saying Adrian Peterson, from size, speed, height. I mean, in his prime, there was no running back that was feared more than that man, who was 6'2", 220, running a 4.3, and every DB and linebacker had to make a business decision. Right. So some might say, somebody else, but I'll say that was the best running back I ever saw. Number two is Barry Sanders because he would probably be my number one if I wasn't biased to AP because he could do everything. And I just wish he played somewhere else. Number three, I will say it's another guy from my generation, and it's LT. I could go LT or Marshall Faulk, but LT, he made football look so beautiful. Like, he made football look so beautiful. And I never knew if he was 220 or if he was 190. He just looked a certain way that I was like, I don't know how big this guy is, but he's just dominant before AP came. Number four, I would make a biased choice here, and it's only because he's my guy. He shouldn't be in the top five, but Jamal Lewis in his prime. Jamal Terrace, 2,000 yards. He was a 2,000 yards rusher, and he was all Baltimore had for about 10 years. His border, his defense, and Jamal Lewis. So it's biased. Number five, I will honestly have to go with the boy, Priest Holmes. I know he didn't last long. Priest Holmes was nasty.
He was good. He's a Baltimore guy. He's a Baltimore guy too. So I see what you're doing.
No, but
Priest had a good little run there.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Jamal Lewis, his rookie campaign ran for 2K. Then the next year ran for what, 1,600? He was a monster. And y'all quarterback play was
horrible.
Subpar.
Horrible.
Hey, you won a championship, man. So it was subpar after that, though. I don't know why.
I just knew he was gonna say Ingram, Rice, Lewis.
Rice?
Oh hell.
I love Rice, but Jamal did that and without beating women for 10 years. So,
yo, and imagine if that dumbass that hit Jamal Lewis in the leg at practice,
yo,
and cost him that season. Like, yeah,
that would happen. I don't remember that.
You remember that?
He got hit
in training camp, like the first week of training camp. Some overeager young guy broke through the line and hit Jamal in his leg towards ACL.
All-American practice player.
And I think that was after the 2000 season.
Yeah.
No, because he had a good campaign, his sophomore campaign. I remember that.
He ran for 1,000.
It must have been right after that then.
He ran for 2,000 his rookie year.
No, it was his third year he ran for 2,000 when he came close to breaking Eric Dickerson's record.
Yeah, he was good, man. He was good out the –
yeah,
good.
That's my top five. It's a little off, but that's my top five, man.
My top five, Barry Sanders, number one. Emmitt Smith, number two. I got to give it to him. Even though he was running behind probably one of the greatest offensive lines of all time, he could have very well been Trent Richardson and not seen the holes. So, I mean, I don't know. So I got to give him credit for actually seeing the holes and running through them. My number three is Marshall Faulk. I absolutely loved his game and the fact that I feel like he was the first guy since Roger Craig that was just such a threat in the pass game and running the football. My number four is LaDainian Tomlinson. I already said it. I loved him. I mean, he just couldn't stop the dude. And he had a magical, magical season with the Chargers. And my number five is Eric Dickerson. I was a huge fan of Eric Dickerson all through my childhood. He was just different. I mean, he was tall and fast. And he couldn't run for power, even though he ran straight up. But I was just a huge fan of his. So lightning round, that's my top five running backs.
All right, give me one quick honorable mention.
Oh, no, somebody else go. I got to think about it.
I'll say Marshall Faulk on my list because when I think about it, man, he was spectacular, man. He was spectacular out the gate. And you could almost say, as far as modern running backs, he was one of the reasons a lot of them have changed to really be included into the passing game.
I'll say Chris Johnson.
Oh, yeah. People do forget about how good Chris Johnson was.
Facts.
Him and Jamal Charles were something serious.
Jamal Charles was a beast, but Thurman Thomas.
Thurman Thomas. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Thurman Thomas was a monster, yeah. He was a monster. I remember,
when Lance was talking about somebody that you had to make a career decision on, was somebody you had to make a career decision on.
You know who reminds me of him now is Nick Chubb a little bit. The way Nick Chubb, big, stout, doesn't move off of balance, can catch, can pretty much do everything. That's what reminded me of a young Thurman Thomas. Thurman Thomas was a monster. Thurman Thomas was the reason Barry Sanders was a backup. We got to remember that.
Right. He was
there were a lot of quality backs in the early 2000s too, and late 90s. There were a lot of quality 1,000 quarterbacks.
These are profound.
My honorable mention, I can't think of just one. I mean, I got like five in my head right now, but I have to choose two. And they're both from the U, and it's Frank Gore and Edgerrin James.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Edgerrin James was a freak of nature to me.
Edgerrin James is a monster. Why did I forget him?
Freak of nature to me. Like, I just...
I mean, for the Colts to get rid of Marshall Faulk, and everybody brought Edgerrin James in. Everybody's like, "You go crazy," and then Edge went off.
Yeah,
they didn't. There was times they didn't use him enough, though.
No, that was true. I mean, but you got Peyton Manning.
But still,
you got Peyton Manning and
Marvin Harrison,
Reggie Wayne. Stokely, yeah, Dallas Clark.
But that's how they got beat. Was doing too much passing. I mean, you kill the clock. You kill the clock and you pass when you have to. And with those other guys, passing when you have to becomes significantly easier versus passing all the time.
Facts.
But I think that kind of speaks more towards James's greatness, because James was, it's crazy that every year you look at his statistic, 15, 16, 15. It wasn't like he had 1,100. It was like big yardage.
I know. But then they wouldn't use him in the playoffs properly.
Which it was weird.
It was bizarre.
It was a lot of screen passes to him too. They could have used him in the passing game a lot more.
Yeah. And then the year that they won the Super Bowl with the running back combo with Adai and whoever else, they used those guys. Like, they actually used them. And it's like, this is what you should have been doing with that superstar you had the last couple years.
Facts. All right, I got one for you. Name the one, two for your personal favorite teams running backs. Obviously, Dev is going to say Emmett, but who would you consider the second best?
The GOAT? Let's put some respect on his name. Three Super Bowls. Has no running back has run for more yards in the history of the game. I repeat.
That's obvious, but who are you picking as the second?
The second?
It should be obvious.
Tony Dorsett?
Yeah. Exactly. It should be obvious.
TD? Whew. Whew. Wish I could have saw him in his prime live.
He was a special guy. He was the one thing that kept me from completely hating the Cowboys. Landis. You could technically count the Browns as part of the Ravens history when you're thinking of running backs. No,
but I would never.
Since y'all did vacate.
But I would never do that because I don't even like saying that stupid name. Any of those, I would never do that. And I don't even thank them for sending the Browns over to become the Ravens. I don't remember anything. I wasn't here in this country, so it never happened. But with all that said, I'm going with my boy Jamal Lewis, obviously. And no, Ciroc, is not Lamar Jackson second. It's your boy Ray Rice.
well, with that logic of the Browns, you could also probably can include the Colts history as well, since they left B more.
That's true.
And you can consider Edge.
Hey, Dev, I wasn't here. I got here in 99 November. So none of that was. Yeah, I came here fresh. They ain't know none of that, so yeah.
The Rockets are going to say Marcus Allen and Bo Jackson.
No, I'm not, actually.
Yeah, you are.
You better.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Well, who are you going to say? Now I'm curious.
I'm really curious.
I'm very curious. So who? Napoleon McCallum?
Saying, yeah, Marcus Allen.
Marcus Allen.
That's what I'm saying.
Right, who's number two?
Bo Jackson, yeah. Imagine if Bo Jackson played football.
He's trying so hard not to say Bo Jackson.
Yeah, Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, you tripping.
What, you mean old ass Marshawn? He was old
you
as
tripping,
hell.
Yeah.
He was old as hell when he got there. But
you tripping. It was a lot of hype. That was definitely fun, but he's not number two.
No, Marcus Allen and Bo Jackson, of course. Just because I wish Bo had a longer
stint to continue to run people's faces over, then you couldn't argue with that. But
I wish Al Davis had probably before Marcus Allen, so he could have stayed with the Raiders instead of going to the Chiefs.
But if they ever hear this, shout out to Charlie Garner, my homie, and Lamont Jordan. I see you up in Maryland. My dogs, for real, for real.
So UMD. UMD, my man Jordan. Turks.
It's tough for me because we've had one very good running back and some decent running backs as far as their career with our team.
I'm trying to find somebody you should say.
Because number one has to be Riggins. Like John Riggins was the offense in those Super Bowl years.
I can't front Riggins.
Morris had like your best rushing season, right?
Who?
Isn't that random? Like Morris had like the he's like your all time leading single season rusher, Alpha Morris.
It might be.
Actually,
you just gave me something else to think about, but I hadn't even considered Al, but I because I can say because all the good running backs we've had have been like transplants from other play like other teams. Cause we haven't drafted a really good running back in forever. Even Riggins came from another team.
Yeah.
I was gonna say is Clinton Portis. Terry Allen had some great years with us. Ernest Byner had a great year in the Super Bowl run. I almost feel like I should go with Brian Mitchell because even though he didn't get a lot of burn as a running back, he's top five, maybe top two kick returners of all time.
He's a special talent.
But I think I'll have to go with Riggins. And Clinton Portis. Portis has some good years with us.
Ernest Byner.
I know. Right? That's what I said. I was considering Ernest because he was the catalyst. I mean, it would be much easier if we said wide receivers because I would just pick the whole posse. But
God.
Now, one of my favorite running backs of all time for my team is Ricky Irvin. I love Stephen that Davis. Stephen Davis was very good.
He was a big
wasn't he? He was all Redskins though, right?
Actually, he was. Yeah, we did draft him.
He was. Yeah, I was gonna say because then he went to the
Panthers. He was a monster in Carolina though. He was a monster with Jake DeLone, Steve Smith, all those boys.
Yeah. Where did he go before that? He went straight to the Panthers. It was Redskins then the Panthers.
Yeah.
I gotta
check his stats real quick.
He won the Super Bowl as a starting running back with the Panthers at like 14 or 1600 yards, like 2003, I think.
He had three straight 1300 plus yard seasons with us.
Really?
Yep. From 99, 2000 to 2001, he was 1400, 1300, and 1400.
Yeah, that was a running back fight.
In 99, he had 17 rushing touchdowns.
Wow. That's random.
He was a superstar.
Yeah, he was a monster.
He was a monster that year. That was the year we had Brad Johnson, and I think we lost to Tampa Bay in the playoffs.
Y'all lost Tampa Bay.
North Turner was on his nut that year. He actually was calling decent plays. But
that was North Turner. Post Cowboys success, knowing how to set up the run.
We love the let's go get the Cowboys leftovers.
And then you guys give them to us.
And now we got a son. Anyway. All right, let's look at this week's matchups. We got about 8 minutes left in the show.
Yes, sir. See,
we are week 13. So Dallas already took care of business against Loathsome Hill and the Saints.
I'm going with the Saints. It's like, no.
I call them Tabo.
We got Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Dev, who you got?
Tampa Bay.
That's right.
What was that? The 31-3 that they came back and whooped them? Tampa Bay.
Dang, why you bringing up old shit?
Hey, it'll always be. It'll always be. It's just like hitting your baby mama for the first time. That's always yours.
This man is so crazy. I mean, on some level, we all know that's true. Landis, who you got?
Oh yeah, Tampa Bay. Not in the question.
Arizona at Chicago. Kyler Murray is still out.
No,
what is wrong with this dude? Is he all right?
No. Hopkins and Murray are in.
Yeah, they're in. I know it said that they were going to be a game time decision.
They're active. I think he plays today.
Okay.
Him and D.
Should have been. He was going to be the MVP this year if he didn't miss the last three games.
They said a lot. High ankle sprain, but they just said that like last week. They haven't really been saying it. Like, they should have.
Yeah, they said they were. They said they were being extra cautious with him. Death.
So that's Arizona or Chicago?
At Chicago.
I'm going to go with Arizona.
That's right.
Give me a midget.
Landis. The little person.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Little person.
Yeah.
Vertically challenged.
Yeah, I'm revving for the little people too, so I would definitely go with Kyler Murray for the guys on the 5-9.
Is Justin Fields even playing?
Hey, look.
I think he's hurt too.
I'm calling a domestic violence hotline on whoever keeps beating up on Justin Fields. That boy takes a whooping. I mean, he got some whoopings.
Like, but he said the NFL was slow, right? So yeah. I'm sure they didn't remember that. He said during the preseason, he was like, the league is slow.
You got to shut the fuck up. You got to shut the fuck up in the preseason. But he's getting better every week. So whoever the next coach is, they're going to have to bring in a QB guy. But I hate it when a young quarterback has to switch offensive coordinator and all that shit so early in their career. I think
if it's going to be a switch, it has to happen after this season. You can't let Nagy hang around for another year or two. Like, you got to cut bait now.
True. Nagy needs to be gone from football altogether. He needs to coach.
He's going to get another job. He's going to be like a quarterback's coach for somebody. That's how the NFL works. It's the good old boy network. Somebody's going to be like, oh, Nagy, you're my guy. Come on, you can coach my quarterbacks. I want to make sure you don't go homeless after stealing those checks from Chicago.
That man is dangerous, man. That man is dangerous.
All right, we got Chargers at Bengals.
Good match.
Dev.
Chargers at Bengals. Man, we're looking at the future right there. I'm gonna say Chargers at Bengals. I'm gonna say Cincinnati. Just because they're at home in that cold and West Coast team traveling. So I'm going to say Cincinnati, but it could go either way, but I'm going to say Cincinnati.
That's right.
It's going to be a fight because Eckler is playing like a freaking beast. But so is Mixon. Mixon is a monster on his own, and so is that boy JC. So give me the Bengals, man. Give me the Bengals.
Landis.
Yeah, as a Ravens fan, I got to bow down to the Bengals until we play them again. I mean, I'm still not over that beating they gave us a few weeks ago. I'm still recovering. And, and honestly, you know what? Other than Lamar Jackson, I have this weird man crush on Joe Burrow. I went from thinking he was racist coming out of LSU. I don't know why I have this racist radar. I swear to God, I have a racist radar. But
I'm so glad you didn't say that while you had your shirt off, putting cocoa butter on yourself, man. I was worried.
I got respect for Joe Burrow, man.
Joe Burrow's the truth, man. He got this swag, something about him that he really believes that he is who he is. And I drink it. He's in my division, so I don't like him. But Joe Burrow's the truth.
Even from his time at Ohio State when he got hurt, and then his time at Ohio State, the LSU, to even now, like all his teammates seem to really fuck with him. And you can't fake that. Like, you can see that. So, I've been fucking with Joey B.
I love the Joe Burrow story because he just came from a humble place. Like, he didn't grow up rich. He didn't grow up in Ashburn. Like, he really came from the bottom and has overachieved. And like you said, he's a leader. He's a guy that if you played on his team and you're in the huddle with him, you can believe in that guy, and you want to go out with a beer for a beer after the game with him.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
I'm taking the Bengals also. We got Minnesota.
But I do like Jeremy, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I do think Justin Herbert is a star, but I do think Burrow is better out of the two.
They were we can discuss that. We'll have to debate that. That's because that's a good discussion piece. Yeah. Minnesota at Detroit. Dev.
Minnesota at Detroit. I'm going with Minnesota, even though Dalvin Cook's out. His backup running back is when he starts. I mean,
he's a monster.
Yeah, the offense looks the same. Madison, the offense pretty much runs the same. So, yeah, I'm going to go with
this. Surratt.
Rocking with my cousin, Captain Kirk. Sorry, Vikings.
I was like, good. We was on way.
I thought he was going to say Jefferson or something. Landis.
Boy, the monster.
Who is it? The Vikings and who?
And the Lions.
Have the Lions won a game like in the last 20 years? Have they won?
They've come close.
Of course, I'm going with the Vikings.
They got a tie.
The last time they won,
they tied Pittsburgh.
That's so sad, isn't that sad?
That's like kissing your cousin.
Hey, it's not a loss.
I swear they've
tied more games than anybody I can remember.
Those two don't go the same. You can't say it's like kissing your cousin, and then Dev says it's not a loss. That's not good. That's an L all the way around.
That was wild today, yo.
That's crazy.
That was crazy timing. I'm gonna go with Minnesota.
Are we talking like eighth generation distant cousin that live in the Caribbean I don't know about, or?
I don't know. I don't even want to talk about it. Anyway.
That's a
show we have to host in West Virginia. Giants at Dolphins. Dev.
The Giants are starting. What's his name? Glennon.
Yep.
I'm going with the Dolphins.
Damn, we just shit on them.
Surratt.
Fins.
Landis.
You know what? I'm a Northern Virginia boy. I'm going to be bold today and say my man repping Westfield High School, Glennon. And the Giants going to get this dub today. There's no stats to back that up, but I'm just being bold.
You're jumping out there.
I'm going to go Fins. I feel like Waddle is coming into his own. They've kind of figured out a way to manufacture points. And the defense plays well enough. And Glennon is just known for turning the ball over. So I'm going to go Fins. Eagles at Jets. No Jalen Hurts.
Is he injured?
Yeah.
He's got some kind of injury. He's not playing.
I like Minshew, so I'm going with the Eagles because I like Minshew. At this point, he should know the offense. They've been running the ball pretty well, so I'm going to go with Eagles.
J-E-T-S, Jets.
Landis.
These games feel so depressing picking. I feel like the NFL needs to shrink down to about 20 teams because I hate picking games like this. But
yo, because Philly had the letdown last week against the Giants because all the money was on Philly.
Yeah, nah, I guess I'll give the game to Philly just because I am a Minshew fan too. I do believe I feel like they should have kept him in Jacksonville for a little bit, but hey, I understand. But I think Minshew is a good quarterback, and I think he got a point to prove today. He's going to make some money. Is he on his contract year?
I think he signed like a 1-year deal.
Okay.
I'm going to go Jets. Philly struggled with Hurts.
I want to ask you a question. What's up? What about Minshew in New Orleans with Sean Payton?
I mean,
it would make sense. He seems like the type of guy that he would bring in as like a backup. I don't know about Minshew as a bona fide starter, but if they can't get anybody else, I could see him being there. But I think there'll be enough quarterbacks out there that are available in free agency or trades, that New Orleans will find something that is a little bit more suitable than Minshew. Hmm. Let's see. So yeah, I got the Jets. Colts at Houston. Dev.
What'd you say?
Colts at Houston.
Colts. Yeah, Colts been playing well. And what's his name? Wentz-Pennsylvania's looking competent lately, so.
And they got a number one running back in the league.
He's a beast.
Sirach. Hey,
give me Colts. Yeah, Taylor's gonna light them up this again. Again. I see another fire game for Taylor.
Atlantis.
Yeah, I'll go with the Colts. And I honestly feel like truly this year we
Oh, we lost you, Landis.
It's not fair to allow them. I mean, I see them getting that moment pick. Come again?
Oh, no, we had lost you for a second. We got you now, though.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. No, I'll say I think the Colts will obviously win just because the Houston Texans don't have a map right now of where they're going. I mean, they're just dysfunctional. So
I'm going to go Colts. I think Tyrod Taylor makes it interesting. Shout out to my VA guys, but Colts end up winning. We got Washington at Vegas. Dave.
I'm a good man. This is one of those games where Washington's going to win and then next week be coming in high because they beat a team we didn't beat.
You still gotta say it for the folks that aren't watching the video.
Gang, gang, gang.
Of course. Landis. The boys from Ashburn or Vegas.
I'm gonna be honest. I'm picking this pick just to spite of Sirach. Sirach last week, bro, you killed Facebook and I'm not doing it. I'm wishing the Redskins, and I'm calling the Redskins, whoop the Raiders' ass today so I can post all these pictures, ignorant pictures on this man's Facebook today.
hold up, man. I'm going nowhere. I gotta get your face real quick. Just in case.
I'm going to keep the mojo the same because I have picked against my team the last 3 weeks and we're 3-0 with me picking against them. So I'm going to pick Vegas and hope that the reverse osmosis mojo continues. We got Jaguars at Rams. Dev.
Man, Rams been falling apart lately. Man, Rams has not really shown me much since they've made all these acquisitions. So, and it's in LA.
It is in LA.
You know, I'm gonna go with Jaguars. I'm gonna go with Jaguars.
Sirach.
Rams, only because they got to get over that hump. And they're fighting. They put too much money on the line just to get whooped like that. This ain't gonna be it.
Damn. Landis.
I'm definitely going with the. I don't even want to pretend like it's gonna be a game. Is it? The Jaguars gonna lose? So.
Yeah, I'm going Rams also. Baltimore at Pittsburgh. should we all collectively say Baltimore because Pittsburgh is a dumpster fire right now?
No. Don't all collect the
Seahawks. You know what? Because Ben just announced that this is his final year, I'm going to go with Pittsburgh.
The rally behind Ben game?
Yeah, what was it, Kobe's final season?
I got you. Sirach?
Yeah.
Only because that garbage cornerback that they have, Najee Harris gonna show out. Give me the steel curtain, man.
Yeah, I'll say this, man. I would not be surprised if the Steelers beat us because we, for some reason, those teams want to play each other. So for some reason, we could lose, but I'm gonna be confident today and say we're gonna get this dub. TJ Watt is back this week, so I'm a little nervous, but you know, Lamar got to like come back. He's had a rough 2 weeks, and he got to come back and remind people who he is. So I'll say us, but fingers crossed. Excellent. Stand up.
I'm going Baltimore. I don't have any faith in Pittsburgh, and their defense is underwhelming because the offense has been so bad. We've got San Fran at Seattle. Dev?
Seattle's been falling apart. I don't think Russ wants to be there, so I'm going to go with San Fran.
That's right.
Bang, bang, Niner gang.
Landis.
What's the game?
San Francisco and Seattle.
San Francisco. I'm going to go with San Fran because Seattle is, I don't know what they are right now. Kind of lost. So.
Yeah, I'm going San Fran. It can't be Russ's finger anymore. He's just off. He doesn't seem to be as motivated anymore. So I'm going San Fran.
Can I throw you guys another Drew Brees quarterback? Would y'all like to see Russell in New Orleans?
Oh, that would be ridiculous. I would love to see that.
I would love to see that. Good job,
Drew. You might first.
I know my boy Omar and the home girl Jana would love to see that.
100%.
Denver at Kansas City.
Kansas City look like you're getting their swagger back, so I'm gonna go with them.
I personally wish that both could lose, only because, yeah, you just know how it is. But I like to see. I'm gonna take Denver. I think Teddy B got some for him.
Landis.
And what was the game?
Sorry. Denver or Kansas City?
KC.
Yeah, I'm going to go KC.
Are we ready to say that they're back? That Patrick Mahomes' little brother is staying home and they're actually back.
They've figured out something. They've made the necessary adjustments. The defense is playing better, so it is a little better.
I kind of wish I didn't put that banning notice on him. I need him to come back because that's when Patrick was losing.
Right. All right, we got the Monday night game, New England at Buffalo.
Buffalo's lost their swagger, man. I don't know what it is. Josh Allen is he's in the sunken place somewhere. I can't figure it out.
I think
Bill Belichick is building a little Brady over there, man. He's you know, getting ready.
Stretch side by side.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with New England. Buffalo doesn't have a running game, and I feel like New England is kind of hitting a stride a little bit.
Perfect.
Dev?
Yeah, Mac 10. He's legit.
Both hands on that leg.
We should have drafted him. Landis, New England at Buffalo.
I think, you know, even 4 weeks ago or 6 weeks ago, this wouldn't have been a game. But this game could have serious playoff implications. Wouldn't y'all agree?
It could, yeah.
Yeah, so I will. With all that said, I think I'm not buying the Patriots for some reason. I'm like, this is all just like a phase, and I think Josh Allen will remind the AFC East that he's king in that division. So, and no, this is no spite towards Bill. I think he's doing an excellent job of what he does. But I am tired like this Patriots juice that everybody's been drinking the last 2 weeks. I'm not a believer in that.
I got you. Well, those are our picks for week 13 of the NFL season. It is slightly after 1 p.m., so the games have begun.
Real quick, shout out. Happy birthday to my girl, V. Vivian, we all love you. Me and Big J, we love you. Happy birthday, girl. 41's good.
Happy one day, Viv. I appreciate y'all fellas for joining me in the shop. We'll reconvene again next week. And enjoy your Sunday fun day full of football.
All right. Now, oh, yeah, you got two more.
I want to, hey guys, fellas, yeah. I want to talk to you about something too. And this is just an idea, kind of like something more to add to the show, kind of because of what we were talking earlier. So I've been following these guys. I'm sure you heard about them, but it's made me been investing a lot of my money into crypto. But I want to see if we can do a show and put some, bring some like topics about investing and shit like that. Because a lot of people now, especially Black folks, we are knowing how to use our money with stocks, cryptocurrency. So I've been listening to Earn Leisure podcast with those guys, and I think we can implement some of those stuff into our show.
I like those guys. I want to learn about crypto and investing and all that shit.
Yeah, so yeah, that could be an episode. That'd be dope.
Only because of my gang ties, I want to learn about crypto, not crypto, bro.
You tripping, yeah. Yo, thank you everybody for tuning in and listening. Please share our podcast with your friends, neighbors, and co-workers. We love you all. DMV, DC, Maryland, Virginia, we love y'all. We out this bitch.
Peace.